You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, February 14th, 2023. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, three students killed, five still in critical condition after a mass shooting at Michigan State University. Also on the program today, Nikki Haley declares her presidential run such as it is. East Palestine residents report dead fish and chickens, but are told, don't worry about it. Consumer prices slow in their rate of acceleration year over year. Biden to name Lael Brainard and his top economic advisor and Jared Bernstein, chair of the Council for Economic Advisors. Pence to fight subpoena from the special counsel. Senate today will confirm Biden's 100th federal judge. It beats Trump's 84 at this time in his administration. Huge protests in Israel over Netanyahu's plan to cronyize the judiciary. The Moldovan president claims that Russia is plotting a coup in her country. Biden's defense of Social Security driving Republicans bonkers. And Starbucks found to have illegally punished and threatened workers. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. It is a Tuesday. Happy Valentine's Day, Emma.
Thanks.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I have some affinity for this holiday that is limited to the fact that the first commercial Valentine's Day card was developed in Worcester, Massachusetts in 1848.
The Paris of Massachusetts.
The Paris of 1980s. It's a temporal thing in terms of when it was Paris. Now, I should just add, because I know there's people going to be sticklers about it, that supposedly Taft's son,
William Howard Taft's son,
may have developed the first commercial Valentine's Day card a couple years earlier in Grafton, Massachusetts.
Huh.
But I think that's revisionist history and probably just propagated by the Tafts, who were trying to maintain some semblance of notoriety. You know, after
it's like Edison and Tesla all over again.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that going on. So that's the best I could say about that holiday.
I was trying to find
smiley face.
Yeah,
also developed in Worcester.
Oh,
the yellow smiley face.
That's another commodifiable emotion. Yep.
The first black professional bicyclist, also from Worcester.
Wow.
Yep. There's more of this, folks. So don't change your podcast dials or your YouTube channel.
Central Page broke the color line in baseball in Bismarck, North Dakota.
All right. Yep. The
guys ever
first
seen
professional no hitter thrown in Worcester. So all right, it's not a big deal.
Well, Bradley, where are the New Jersey facts? Yeah, Sinatra. Yeah,
Jersey,
yeah.
Putting up a goose.
New Jersey, right. first place for open flame to be burned, right? All right, let's get to this. We got a lot to cover today, but we should start with this because it's quite possible we will never mention this again. Nikki Haley has declared that she is running for president. Honestly, it's possible that we may never mention her again.
Unless Trump does something funny about it.
Unless Trump says something funny about it. It's really going to come down to what is her nickname that he gives her. Now, he may not give her one.
I mean, how does it fit into Meatball Ron? Because if she's kind of running to be Ron's VP, right?
Meatball Ron and Nikki Tikka Masala. That's he's going to do something horrible like that.
That's a lot of sauce for one dish.
That's right.
Oof.
I don't think so. I don't know. It's too bad she's a horrible liar or whatever. We'll find out what
Deep
he's going to say.
Deep State Nikki.
Deep State Nikki. Mm. That's a good one. Yep. Here is Nikki Haley and her opening bid to be president of the United States. I mean, remember, Haley sort of, she tried to do two things. She tried to be, she agreed to be Trump's ambassador to the UN and then tried to be a never Trumper sort of afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad she chose the wrong choice twice. Can't do that twice.
She took the blue pill.
The railroad tracks divided the town by race. I was the proud daughter of Indian immigrants. Not black, not white. I was different. But my mom would always say, your job is not to focus on the differences, but the similarities. And my parents reminded me and my siblings every day how blessed we were to live in America. Some look at our past as evidence that America's founding principles are bad. They say the promise of freedom just made up. Some think our ideas are not just wrong, but racist and evil. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have seen evil. In China, they commit genocide. In Iran, they murder their own people for challenging the government.
And pause it. Wait a second. She's saying she's seen evil on TV? Is that what the argument?
Well, I guess when she traveled for the UN,
she did a pretty important job.
Oh, did they take her? Did they take her to the Uyghur camps?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the Saudis? Is she gonna do the Saudi Arabian government
next,
now? Yeah.
did she go to Iran? I mean, it's.
Could you say the thing about our fun ideas? You listed a thing that was racist. Like it was the lane of the train tracks was explicitly racist.
Yeah.
Why do we need to get in the Constitution? Like it's not your job to look at the differences. That's apparently the railroad's job.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what difference would it have made if you're not white and you're not black if there was no problem with race?
Also, I was kind of squinting to see what was on her necklace because I thought she might have been brazen enough to have a cross out there, but that's not what she has on. It's like something else. But
very odd way to start off with, like, let me talk about my identity and how completely irrelevant it is to me.
I'm above it.
Because nobody was conscious of it whatsoever, except for the fact that I realized I wasn't white and I wasn't black. How did you find that out?
Our ideas are not just wrong, but racist and evil. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have seen evil. In China, they commit genocide. In Iran, they murder their own
people. Also, let me just, I'm sorry. But, like, the people from 1619 Project didn't say, like, America was evil. They said it was racist.
Same thing.
How can we really face up against genocides in other countries if we're going to act like we didn't do it?
Oh, you're so woke.
We did the good genocide here.
Come on. Like,
we have a little bit maybe to teach the world.
That was over 200 years ago in some limited cases.
Yeah, at least like the start of it.
I mean, like, okay. All right. It was at least over 75 years ago, at least in terms of like full on genocide. Okay. So come on. Jesus, Matt. Continue.
Challenging the government. And when a woman tells you about watching soldiers throw her baby into a fire, it puts things in perspective. Even on our worst day, we are blessed to live in America. I was born and raised in South Carolina, so I have seen the very best of our country. People here threw out the old, tired political establishment and demanded accountability.
Pause
for their
it. Wait, was she talking about the coup that they had down there to throw all the politicians after Reconstruction? Is that what she's talking about? They threw out. They literally did throw out. They killed some too.
Yeah, Charleston's so beautiful. Who made all those buildings?
Yeah, who built that?
And what was the purpose of that city?
Oh my God! Go ahead.
Industry reports called us the beast of the Southeast.
Oh, hell yeah!
Which I love. People came by the thousands for fresh starts. Moms and dads held their heads up high. Children learned that it was always...
It's a great day in South Carolina.
It's a great day.
It's a great day.
A great day. A great day in South Carolina. We were strong. We were proud. And when evil did come...
Police in
what kind
South
of evil?
Carolina are looking for a gunman following a shooting at a church.
Several victims. We don't know the severity.
We turned away from fear. Toward God and the values that still make our country the freest and greatest in the world. We must turn in that
direction. Wait, I'm sorry. What was that? What was that shooting about, Nikki Haley?
Let's not get into
it. Who did it? And then who were the cops in your state who took the dude out from McDonald's after he shot up a bunch of black people?
He was hungry. I'm sure there were good people on both sides. I'm sure there were good people on both
sides.
This
is interesting Rhodesia about Nikki Haley.
It's just, that was not a smooth transition from the, like, I was the UN person to the South Carolina thing, but.
It's amazing.
And the values that still make our country the freest and greatest in the world.
They need like
we
a
must
record scratch.
Turn in that direction again. Republicans have lost the popular vote in 7 out of the last 8 presidential elections.
Yet they
that
still have taken power and appointed 3 Supreme Court justices.
Sound like a rhino,
that shouldn't
Nikki.
Come as a surprise. The Washington establishment has failed us over and over and over.
Now happy music.
She was in the former administration.
It's time for a new generation of leadership to rediscover fiscal responsibility. Secure our border and strengthen our country, our pride, and our purpose.
Pause it. You know, one thing you cannot see if you're listening to this, you don't have to go backwards. They put up those chyrons, and that is actually a pre-bought chyron package that you can get every time you run for Republican office. They just throw those in, so they already have that template already there.
She saved some money on that.
Yep.
Some people look at America and see vulnerability. The socialist left sees an opportunity to rewrite history. China and Russia are on the march. They all think we can be bullied, kicked around. You should know this about me. I don't put up with bullies.
I raise my
hands.
And
when you kick back,
it
hurts them more if you're wearing heels. I'm Nikki Haley, and I'm running
Girl
for
boss.
President.
Honestly, I have to say I would give the editing and the pacing of that somewhere around like a D or an E as a grade. I don't think I've ever seen anything that was so schizophrenic. Like they really did need the record scratch and then put in the sort of like, you know, some type
you're
of
probably
like,
wondering how it got here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
And outside of her being a woman, that was like the most standard and also really stale Republican presidential ad. That could have been in 2004. I mean,
when you kick back, it hurts worse when you're
when your heels.
Oh, so you're
oh my god!
There you go.
You're poking people's eyes out with your stilettos, psycho.
I appreciate that. It almost seems like she was a little surprised when she says, "I'm Nikki Haley and I'm running for president," and then she's like, oh, "Right, oh my god, am I really doing
that's
this?"
Me.
No, then
no,
she just
she's not.
And then it just cuts back to her going, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Not really.
If
not
only
really.
Those people at that church would have been Indian, maybe they wouldn't have been
that's right.
victim of a racist attack.
That's right. They were too... Oh, my God.
And fact check on me. Thank you, JR in Philly. It was Burger King that he got taken to, not McDonald's.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
And also, just to be clear, I mean, what was fascinating about that is that she wouldn't go all the way to being anti-woke. She just sort of like, you know, sort of... That ad really captures why she's going nowhere in the campaign, because she's neither fish nor fowl.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to walk some imaginary sort of like tightrope line, and nobody believes it anymore. And that's it. And it's over. And she's just got to wait and see if she will, you know, snag a VP slot. That's basically
that's what she's
it
running
is.
For.
But it's also, you know, I don't know, like what does she bring to the ticket in terms of some type of like her campaigning has been limited over the past 4 years. She hasn't been in the news much. I you know.
There's terrified of losing the suburban voter to Biden, and that's exactly who she's running to be.
She might, she might be able to bring back
the female suburban voter.
And you know what happens when you kick with those heels?
Yeah.
If you kick backwards.
It's hard to balance after you land the kick.
And you've also got to kick backwards.
Why are you?
Because the heels would actually, it would be very, very hard to land with the heel in the kick.
I think the most effective way to stomp on people with your heels is to go stomp, right?
Yes, that's
kick
my point.
Down, not kicking back. She's kicking down.
As long as they're on the floor, those heels really hurt.
Maybe we should make cops wear heels.
They do have, don't they have hard stuff on their boots sometimes, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it's like a high heel.
Mm.
All right.
Next time.
A couple words from our sponsors today. Oh, this has been a long time for this one. It's Emma's favorite.
Oh, great.
I just saw a thing. Sarah Silverman is hosting, what's that show? The Daily Show. And I saw a promo for it where she was talking about a bidet. It's happening, folks.
Wow.
Yep. She's had a bidet for a long time, but she has like a super, you know, pricey one.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get a bidet in your own home, folks. We're getting to Valentine's Day today. Mm-hmm. Don't let your trail of roses end in a dirty butt. They write stuff on this.
That's disgusting.
No, this Valentine's Day wash with Hello Tushy Bidet. You're not going to be able to get it in time. But if you have one, you can use it. It gives you a 2 times better clean than wiping with toilet paper. Of course. It makes total sense, folks. I mean, look, there's a very practical explanation for this, aside from the fact that once you go bidet, you don't go back, as it were. You get dirt on your hands. You don't just wipe it with a dry towel. No. Stop spreading your business around your bum with toilet paper. Start washing with Hello Tushy Bidets. The Hello Tushy Bidet washes your bum with a fresh water for a way better clean than toilet paper. You simply spray, you pat dry. You save, I don't know, 80% of your toilet paper, 90%. And you never run into, I mean, I started during COVID and have never looked back. It's a little, my own little pun.
Ah.
It attaches to your existing toilet. Super easy. There's no electrician or plumber needed. The Hello Tushy Bidet cuts down on your toilet paper use. Like I say, it saves paper waste. In 2023, join the millions of happy Hello Tushy customers that take care of their business the cleaner way. Have a great and confident Valentine's Day with a clean bum. Visit HelloTushy.com/majority. Get 10% off plus free shipping right now. That's HelloTushy.com/majority. 10% off. Super easy to attach to your toilet. All you need to do is know how to change a toilet seat. And that's basically it. Check that out. Also, as you know, Bora has been a sponsor with us for a while. They have, they really help with some of my anxiety about my identity being stolen from. Like, I've always been very uptight about this. I mean, I'm uptight about a lot of things, but this is one of the things I've been uptight about. Every day you hear about another data leak. Well, Aura is our sponsor today, and it is an easy-to-use app that allows you to stay safe online easily. First off, it protects you from scammers and hackers. It scans the dark web for your email, for passwords, for your social security number. This is where these things are traded or sold in, like, you know, big files, and it alerts you if it finds anything fast. In fact, when you put your email address into Aura, when you first sign up, or even during your free trial, it will kick back to you and say your password and your this email and the password combination has been compromised, maybe through a data leak or whatnot. You go in, you know what to change, et cetera, et cetera. Also, I found out a bunch of things I had forgotten I had signed up for. Then if Aura also sends out automatic takedown notices for those websites that put all your personal information online, reduces robocalls, also provides some operational security. They give you real-time, Aura gives you real-time alerts on any type of suspicious credit inquiries or anything like that. When I was opening a bank account for Mila, it let me know that somebody had opened a bank account with my deets. Fortunately, it was me. But you don't want anybody take out a credit card in your name or anything like that. Their VPN allows you to stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted. They protect your devices from viruses, malware, spyware, so the bad guys can't break in. The Aura app also allows you to manage the way their kids use their devices, which is extremely helpful. So that you're not the bad guy. You just like, it's because you're under the age of 14. You just keep changing it. Right. That's the way I do it. They also have Password Manager, lets you store and access your online passwords. And you might have an app that allows you to do one of these things, but you don't need to get seven apps. Aura will do it all for you. You're going to be shocked at how much of your private information Aura finds exposed over the 2 weeks free that you have by going to aura.com/majority to start your free trial. It is also linked in the podcast and YouTube descriptions, as are all of our ads today. And a reminder, you get the free show free of commercials by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. All right, let's get into what's going on in Ohio. I mean, this has been just such a massive failure. And let me just start with this. I think that, like, you know, it is extremely difficult to know at this juncture just how, I don't want to say serious this is, because for some people it's going to be incredibly, and I think deadly serious. But how widespread, how long-term the implications of something like this are. And part of the reason why it's so hard to know this is because of, or is, I think, illustrative of a massive failure that we have in this country on a number of fronts. We've talked in the past about the basic fundamental problem of freight train safety in this country. And it came up during that fight, the union fight for the freight trains. There's 5 or 6 companies in this country that run the rail freight. They have all gone to a model of doing business, which basically allows them to have virtually skeleton crews. They make these trains 2 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to develop a system where they have just as few members on this crew as possible. They punish them for taking sick days by basically providing a demerit system where they can get fired after doing it. They are cutting corners, and this is a classic case of them privatizing the profits and externalizing the costs to our society. They put it on the workers in terms of overworking them and making it impossible for them to get, you know, go and take a sick day or help a family member who's sick. Then they externalize this risk to these towns and cities and the entire country that they ride their trains through, which is all over the country.
Yeah. And it was an active choice. They lobbied the Trump administration to get rid of a more updated braking system, one that would be done by electrical signal as opposed to a more old-fashioned one where it's essentially pumping air through a pipe. And we don't know if that's directly what happened in this instance, but they were actively trying to make these systems less safe to cut costs on braking systems.
I mean, from what we've read at this point, it's pretty clear that braking system would have prevented this.
I didn't want to make a declaration, but it seems that way.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It seems that way. There was some report that there may have been a fire on the tracks. The brakes were pushed. the way these brakes work, it caused basically a derailment, and then it gets like even worse. Again, this is all about externalizing the costs and privatizing the profits. These are these freight train companies have made billions and billions and billions of dollars of profit over the past just couple of years. And it is the way they do that is basically by saying to society, you assume the risk. We don't assume the risk. And they have it worked in. They're going to get lawsuits. They're going to have to pay out. That's all part of doing business. That is like, for them, that's a line item. Like, you know, we're going to rent this office and, you know, we have a water delivery that comes every 3 months or whatever it is. That's just a cost that is in their budget.
Yep. And through last year, the profit was up 9%, $3.27 billion in the year. And they're also one of the donors to the Cop City in Atlanta.
There you go. And wonder why they would want that. And there's been a failure just across the board here. There's been a failure from the Biden administration. They could have interceded in this fight. I don't know if it would have made a difference, you know, on this particular instance. But this is not the first one that this same company had. They had one in, what was it, Graniteville? What was it? Where was that?
Was that the Wyoming one? Or that was a different train derailment that could have been stopped by the electronic monitor?
There was another Norfolk Southern one. I think it was like maybe, I don't know, the past 10, 15 years, where 9 people died.
Yeah.
Similar type of dynamic here. And this won't be the last one.
Honestly, Buttigieg should have reinstated that rule that the Trump administration repealed due to the lobbying efforts from these industries. Immediately when he came as
in terms of braking,
yeah, yep. Because that was in place under Obama. Trump repealed it.
So let's just start with it. So there's a failure in terms of what the president could have done to sort of force these companies to hire more people, because the reason why they wanted to discourage. The reason why the companies like Norfolk Southern wants to discourage people, I mean, their workers, from taking a day off when they're sick or taking a day off when their kid's sick or when their parent needs to go see a doctor, whatever it is because they don't want to have any type of redundancy with their employees, because their whole system is designed. We're going to make a 2-mile long train. And we need less people working on that train. You need the conduct, you know, the guy at the front, and the guy at the end, and the guy in the middle, and that's it.
Efficiency speak.
And the failure of the Biden administration to weigh in on that, basically forcing them to hire more people, make it safer for these workers. The failure of our transportation secretary to impose any safety requirements on these rail trains. And then, you know, the failures that we have in terms of like their reporting. There was a report yesterday, I think it was. David Dane highlighted this in his in a thread about this. They're doing soil samples yesterday. Well, why are they telling people to come back before they take samples?
Yep.
Why are they telling people come back? We'll check out your, if you have a concern, we'll go into your basement and check out and see if there's if there's a problem in your house. Well, why are they telling people to come back before they've done any of this testing? Here's a statement by J.D. Vance. This is another example of it. And part of it is because, look, DeWine could have asked the president to declare a state of emergency, because that's the only way that FEMA can come in. That's the only way. The president cannot do this unilaterally. They need to respond to a request that comes from the state. Now, ask yourself, why would these politicians be hesitant to call for to declare a state of emergency? Because it indicates that there's a problem. and you get more people digging around, that means that there's going to be more payouts, and it means they got to do more work. And they're basically, you got these freight train going through their states. You know how much money the lobbyists are paying them. Here's J.D. Vance putting out a statement, and this is sort of like shocking to me, just even as like a political question. On February 13th, the derailment happened 10 days ago. No, yeah, well,
new
11
senator,
days ago.
New
now.
Senator from the state.
Like every Ohioan, I'm horrified by the train crash, et cetera, et cetera. 1 week ago, local and state officials determined that to avoid catastrophic explosion, a controlled release of vinyl chloride would take place. It is unclear to me what the circumstances are of the, and by controlled release, he's talking about this controlled burning. And it is unclear to me as to like how much of this was they had to burn some off to avoid an explosion, or they could have transferred it to other tanks and gotten rid of this stuff in a more controlled fashion, but that would have slowed things down dramatically. We still don't know on that. We're seeing like contradictory reports about this, but Vance can clearly wants to say, like, and he says, this release is the source of the frightening plumes of black smoke that have made their way around social media. While those plumes of smoke are gone now, many questions remain.
I mean, the controlled release is the effort to clean up what had already spilled. The train had already crashed, and he's not really even emphasizing the initial crashing of the chemicals, just the cleanup effort.
Well,
to say, don't be alarmed by the cloud of smoke. But what about the chemicals that spilled into the soil before that?
Or were burning prior to that?
Due to the crash.
Is the air and water safe for residents? So far, we've been told that air, I mean, I understand now, like he's positioning himself as also a victim, right? Like you, there's, he is the senator from the state. If he picks up the phone and calls anybody, they're going to jump. It's really just a question of how high.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the governor is going to be in charge of this stuff, but he's making it like he is like also just sort of just like,
he's a passive observer. Right? It's not up to me. It's the,
I'm just the guy who, you know, owns the five and dime down the road. So far, we've been told that air and drinking water tests performed by the state and federal environmental protection agencies, the Ohio National Guard, and Norfolk Southern
have, we trust them.
Are you ready for this? Have been encouraging. That's encouraging, isn't it?
I feel encouraged.
Where can I bring my kid to check this out? If it's encouraging, gosh, I certainly wouldn't mind bringing my kid down there and checking it all out.
Thankfully, the corporation that's responsible for this is encouraging us now.
Yeah.
It's encouraging.
We
what
can
the
make
encouraging
vinyl
of
chloride
what?
Angels in the waste.
Encouraging of what?
Well, now the train lines are cleared, so, you know, goods can be transferred. That's what's encouraging. Capitalism turns on.
I mean, that is like, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
If you find yourself saying, like, the results are leaning towards maybe not being so deadly after all. Folks sitting in your homes.
Whose cat just died.
We continue to monitor environmental reports from multiple agencies about the quality of air and water in the region. Why is that? Aren't you encouraged enough to say like, eh? I mean, the point that I'm trying to make here is that people should not be back in their homes. But let's get to the section where J.D. Vance says how he is working or how he thinks that somebody should be working on providing things like lodging, financial support, maybe some measures to say that, like, you know, we're going to put a moratorium on evictions. We're going to put a moratorium on firing. We're going to put all sorts of like, everybody freeze, essentially. So the bottom line is we can make sure that the residents of this town and nearby are safe. And we'll get to that part where he outlines the things that he's doing to make sure that that happens. And he goes on to say, I've heard alarming anecdotes about contaminated waterways and effects on the wildlife. I encourage anyone with credible reports of environmental harms to contact my office. It's not clear what he's going to do at that point, but in the meantime, we'll continue to engage with the relevant agencies and monitor the situation in the region. What are the needs with the people on the ground? Well, I've been in constant contact with local officials, residents, and governors since the accident took place. He's about to get into all the things that they're going to do for the population there. The local fire department has borne the brunt of this catastrophe. They need resources from FEMA to decontaminate equipment and ensure they continue to operate. FEMA cannot do anything until the state requests it. These firefighters deserve our gratitude for their heroism. They also deserve equipment for their needs. My office will continue to work with FEMA to ensure these firefighters get what they need. FEMA needs to be asked by the state to come in. Local officials have also consistently encouraged me to ensure appropriate environmental testing continues. So he's going to be making sure that they continue to test. As he said in paragraph two, multiple agencies are testing the continue to test. So he's going to continue the continuing of the tests. I am focused on that as well. My office will continue to engage with people on the ground and deal with issues as they arise, because they've resolved the issues that have already arisen, apparently. Then he moves on to, why did this happen? Well, we will deal with that after the cleanup is done. Aside from this incident, there's a troubling trend of catastrophic infrastructure problems in our country and more than a few reports of sabotage. Okay. My office will be investigating these concerns in the weeks to come. You know, that's weird, because if there had been a troubling trend, one would have expected that you would continue to investigate as opposed to starting to investigate.
Yeah. And FEMA might actually do some investigation as opposed to it all being, you know, essentially in-house in the Republican-led state with a Republican governor and done by the corporation that committed this.
He is also dedicated to ensuring, and this is the part where he's going to come and help, it's coming up, where he's going to help the people there to deal with this, to that the relevant authorities do not use tests conducted as a permission slip to pack up and go home. This is a complex environmental disaster with impacts that may be difficult to assess in the short term. So in other words, we don't really know what the implications are. Long-term study will be imperative, as will long-term commitment to remediation by Norfolk Southern for the property damage, the wildlife disrupted, and the community scarred by this accident. And then, I don't see the part where he says they're going to do anything for the people there in terms of making them not stay there while everybody tries to figure out what the implications of this are going to be.
Put them up somewhere.
In fact, my understanding is that Norfolk Southern is offering like $1,000 to people. Now, you have to give the W-9, and supposedly, this will not inhibit your ability to collect compensation later. But if J.D. Vance wanted the people of that community to be aware that you can leave, and if you stay at a hotel an hour away, you'll be compensated for that. If he wanted to make them aware of that, he would have. The whole point is, why make Norfolk pay? As long as they can say they're paying and nobody takes them up on the offer, save a couple of bucks.
And if people get cancer or diseases down the line, you know, we'll deal with that on the back end. But for now, we'll just kind of bank on our lawyers doing a good job of delegitimizing those people 5-10 years down the line.
It is fascinating to me on how much they're going to try and sort of make this just go away. And they tried to do it from the beginning. Here is J.D. Vance on Tucker Carlson's program, realizing 10 days after the fact, like, oh, this is probably something I should worry about. I forgot I'm from Ohio.
The tragedy in Palestine in your state kind of points up that something is kind of wrong with the fundamentals. I mean, if there are hundreds of train derailments, like, who's paying attention to this stuff and trying to prevent it?
Well, Tucker, we've had hundreds of train derailments after we spent over $1 trillion on infrastructure in this country. Yes, so the fact that this isn't getting obviously better is a major indictment of the people spending the money and what they're spending the money on. Now, we know if you listen to Secretary Buttigieg today that they are focused more on whether we have too many white men in construction jobs than he is on the fundamentals of his job, which is ensuring we have a viable transportation infrastructure in this country. And unfortunately, my constituents in East Palestine have been some of the main victims of the fact that we have failing infrastructure in our country, again, after spending tons of money in an effort to actually fix it. So the problem we have, Tucker, is that we are ruled by unserious people who are worried about fake problems instead of the real fact that our country is falling apart in some of the most important ways. You mentioned the Environmental Protection Agency. Of course, it says it right there. It should be focused on clean air, clean water. It's the thing that I'm most focused on for the people of East Palestine, but so often they're focused on environmental racism and other ridiculous things instead of fixing the problem that they are established to fix.
You got elected to the Senate in part because you said, look, the people that I grew up with, in your case, literally that you grew up with and are related to, are dying of drugs and no one in Washington seems to care. This seems a corollary to that. They talk a lot about the environment and environmental racism, but this seems like an actual environmental disaster. I don't detect any urgency from the EPA or from Washington at all. Is it because these are not their voters?
I think that's a big part of it. I think that the entire
country... Pause. Let me just remind you at this point. FEMA cannot go in until they are asked by the local politicians, by the governor of Ohio. Period. End of story. We'll take this whole thing in a moment because I don't think this is actually terribly good for them. I don't think this is going to work in the way they think it's going to work. But continue.
Of drugs, and no one in Washington seems to care. This seems a corollary to that. They talk a lot about the environment and environmental racism, but this seems like an actual environmental disaster. I don't detect any urgency from the EPA or from Washington at all. Is it because these are not their voters?
I think that's a big part of it. I think that the entire country, the media complex, the leaders of this country have decided to disregard the people of East Palestine. If you look at the way that this story has been covered, if it's been covered at all, it's about how, you know, there are poor people in East Palestine who have been victimized by this disaster. Well, of course, that's true. But you want journalists asking tough questions about what's going on. You want to know, for example, what level of vinyl chloride is actually acceptable in the water. I've been trying to get an answer to that question for days. I haven't been able to get an answer to it. Why is vinyl chloride showing up in the Ohio River in West Virginia and Cincinnati, hundreds of miles away from where this accident took place? There are a lot of questions, and we don't, unfortunately, have a media that's actually interested in asking those questions and answering them.
It's just crazy. All these people are like defacing paintings because they care about the earth. If you care about the earth, clean air and water is the first step. I mean, it's like... Anyway, I appreciate it. If you can't get an answer as a sitting U.S. senator from the state affected, that just tells you everything right there. Thank you.
Yeah. You know what tells you everything is that he actually wasn't asking any questions and that he did not bring any attention to this until 10 days after the disaster.
The amazing thing is, though, is that the way they're trying to shove, like, the woke agenda, that is, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm getting the sense that's going to be there the next 2 years, is that the wokeness is getting in the way of proper regulation for industry. And my response to that is, let's see if we could do both, which I know we can, right? I mean, this is why I don't think this is going to be terribly effective for them. Because this is going to increase pressure on Buttigieg and on others to increase regulation.
Well, Buttigieg has messed up, right? I mean, he did not speak out against this, about this soon enough. And he did travel to, what was it, Texas the other day? And
yeah,
I mean, he doesn't, the fact that he thinks that this is going to be a platform for his presidential run, I think, is laughable.
It given should be a
how,
platform for Biden to fire a guy.
I mean, and let alone what's happened with air travel over recent years, which people are pissed off about. But that's because someone like Buttigieg is actually much more sympathetic to a J.D. Vance point of view than would be advertised. He comes from a consulting McKinsey background. They're all about the notions of efficiency and cutting corners as a way to make corporate profits go up and up. So that's why he didn't reinstate the safety regulations from the Obama era. But they're not. But Tucker Carlson and the right is completely incapable of having that conversation.
Of course not.
So they're going to make it about wokeness and not. Did you know Buttigieg is gay?
I mean, I'd be willing to bet. I wouldn't bet the house on it, but I'd be willing to bet that many of those efficiency measures that these freight companies employ were developed by McKinsey consultants.
100%.
I think I would find it surprising if they were not involved in some of those so-called efficiencies. But the problem they have is they can't complain about this. And, you know, like I know there are right-wingers who are out there, you know, sort of like saying this is, you know, Chernobyl, essentially. And I don't think it is. I think it is indicative of a real problem where we have corporations offloading the risk to society, and we should be clamping down on the regulations here.
Yeah,
and the EPA should up their regulations, and you should not be able to drive a train through a town like that with those chemicals under these conditions. Like, you need to have better safety mechanisms. You need to have more staffing. There's no reason. There is no reason why the federal government cannot say that the ratio of personnel to cars containing dangerous chemicals. And you can develop a schedule of dangerous chemicals. I'm sure it already exists in some way. We do it with drugs. We could say this is a Category 5, car. And if you have three Category cars, you need X number of personnel. I mean, we should be able to do all of this. And it's going to come at the expense of one party. And that is the freight train shareholders and C-suite. And it is, you know, it is time to basically say, like, these things that are crucial to the United States. Like, I get it. Maybe there was some concern about, inflation. That's why we can't require them to put things on. If these things are deemed to be so important to the nation in terms of the health of the economy, or so possibly risky to the nation in terms of what kind of risk they present, these things should be either nationalized or regulated like a common carrier.
Yeah.
The logic is right there. And the opportunity should be taken, because they can try and argue that it's wokeness that is preventing this type of regulation from being applied to these things. But that is going to resonate with a very narrow slice of the population. It's not insignificant. But maybe 35% of the people out there are going to be like, it's true. We're not getting protected from the corporations because of wokeness. Well, this is an opportunity for this administration to step in and say, like, we're going to protect you from the corporations, despite the fact that we're also, you know,
we're
not,
so woke,
not in favor of of racism.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the wokeness is getting in the way. Like, it's actually anti-wokeness being used as a cudgel or as an obscurant for the real problem. And the border opioid issue is a perfect one that these two crocodiles trying to, like, fake cry, acting like they care at all about that. I don't believe J.D. Vance gives a shit about anybody in his life that died from opioids, because if he did, he would know that the vast majority of things are coming through ports of entry, not through mules in the desert. And so when you actually focus on the sort of like coyotes and all that stuff, you're obscuring the real issue in a way that I find extremely suspicious, and probably covers for those agencies like
Border Patrol that are allowing some of this stuff through. So like, I don't care. I don't think like all these guys pretending like they care about this stuff is just really difficult to stomach.
I mean, did you want to do the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, or we can wait on that?
Yeah, no, let's.
I just, for me, this is so instructive because Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of the top fundraisers in the Republican Party. She's positioned herself as somebody who's going to get small donations, be closer to kind of the base than, say, even a senator like J.D. Vance. This is the only thing that they have in response. So she starts off this thread on what happened in East Palestine like this. The devastating consequences from the toxic train derailment and explosion in East Palestine, Ohio, are only beginning. Deadly chemicals are spreading far and wide through the air, ground, water, and rivers, blah, blah, blah. I don't think blame can be placed on one person or nefarious cause. I think this is a tragedy that happened because we are a crumbling nation with many causes as to why we're crumbling. So she keeps going on. It goes longer and down the thread. But here's the key part, I think.
I think this is a good opportunity for Biden to come back out and do a second bite at the apple of the infrastructure bill.
Yeah. Yeah. I lost the train of thought. But what's happening in East Palestine is probably just the beginning of more tragic events that are likely to happen to us in our crumbling nation. In the rail industry, they have been suffering from labor shortages that were exacerbated by COVID shutdowns, especially the freight industry, which is a critical piece of our supply chain that delivers foods, goods, chemicals, and fossil fuels in order for us all to survive. With labor shortages, cutting the number of rail workers on trains, it creates potentially dangerous conditions for trains and railways. The disruption in our economy, blah, blah, blah.
Well, just to be clear.
Yeah. She's blaming labor is what she ends up doing here. Hold on.
Well, but first off, the labor shortage, there is no labor shortages. Yes. It's they refuse to hire more people. We just saw this.
Yes.
We just saw this. This is what the threatened strike was about.
Yep.
Threatened strike was about hire more people so that we can take sick days without threat of being fired.
And then, so instead of making that point, this is what the populist right offers. Here we go. If we can put this up.
It's up.
Okay. Not only do we have a shortage of people, we have a shortage of good values. Mm. And hard work is one of the most important good values America is losing or has lost. Think about it. How many kids do you hear say they want to be a train engineer when they grow up? I don't know. Maybe if they had sick days, yeah, they would want to be.
How many people?
Well, I know a lot of toddlers who like.
Yeah, choo-choo.
How many people you hear want to inherit their parents' construction business and have affairs at the CrossFit all day?
Yeah, right. I mean,
that doesn't sound so bad.
That's her life. There we go. She goes on and on, but I wanted to highlight that just because it's this long thread where she acknowledges the problem, the environmental disaster. It's very similar to what J.D. Vance said there. And all it comes down to is blaming the values of workers as opposed to corporate power. And that is right-wing populism distilled. And same thing with J.D. Vance. It's really just a cultural issue with Appalachia and with people in rural Ohio. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Stop blaming others for your problems and feed into the capitalist system. That is the only thing that they offer for real problems. They'll identify it and then blame people for the problems that they face.
It's interesting. It does feel like if you read this, if you hear what J.D. Vance is talking about, there does feel like there is a almost like a redux of Trump's speech, his RNC 2016 speech. You remember that where he was talking about, it was like almost like he was describing Gotham,
mm-hmm,
like a dark vision of the country. And of course, like there's this vague thing that she's arguing that it's like a lack of values is what did that train. It created this train derailment. No, what it is a simple failure of government to exert its authority over corporations, and the protection of corporate profits over the safety of American citizens. Period. End of story. That's what's going on here, and there's plenty of opportunity now that the Republicans control Congress. I think they should offer up a bill to add more money to the rails, and maybe let's nationalize these rails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's beef up the EPA. Let's beef up enforcement by the Transportation Department. Let's increase regulations. Let's do this.
Come on, Democrats.
They want
to. And that's a super depressing thing. Is like we get to this point, and it's up to the Democrats to call their bluff. And
exactly.
They just don't have the personnel to do it.
No. I agree with that. Although I wanted to get into that story about Greg Sargent wrote about Maxwell Frost. And also, we're seeing a little bit with Biden. Maybe we'll talk about that in the fun half in terms of Social Security, because it's driving them crazy. But there is a huge opportunity here. And if Buttigieg both had the adeptness, and I also think it's impossible for him, though. I mean, I think like there's just too much of an opportunity here for someone who was like, you know, even like a young Biden who was just a total cipher, right, would see this as a political opportunity. If Buttigieg wasn't so immersed, and I think he's just like, you know.
No, he's bad at politics. Well, Buttigieg is bad at politics, and he's so in this corporate world, he has no sense of what Biden's a good politician, and I mean, to a degree, right? Like, he understands what regular people, how they're going to respond.
Pete's a neoliberal plant.
Yeah, exactly. A ghoul like him has no sense.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, people have suggested that he's, you know, Mayo Pete. The idea was that he's really sort of bland and there's nothing that he believes in. And I think he was considered a cipher. And a cipher would see this as an opportunity. If you're gonna run for president, you take hold of this opportunity and say, we have a problem with our transportation, because people can't stand flying with good reason. Airlines are just, it's been a crap show. And people don't have any real attachment to the freight train business, other than making sure that it doesn't kill them or destroy their city or whatnot. I mean, there's a big opportunity here. And the fact that he's not out ahead of this indicates to me that he can't eat. He is so steeped in that, in a culture where corporations must be protected in their interests, uber alles, that he can't even be self-serving about it. It really is fascinating. All right, we got to take a break, head into the fun half. Folks, just a reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible. You're going to become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. Do you see that?
Yeah, good job.
I said you're going to.
Oh.
And when you do, you're going to help the show survive and thrive. Jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY to get 10% off. Check out our merch. We got some new stuff in there. I don't know how many more. Do we have any more Emma Majority shirts?
Emma Majority. Shop.majorityreportradio.com. Limited edition, still available.
Check it out, folks.
And those hoodies are really cool, especially the charcoal and red ones. I'm into that.
Check it out. What's happening on... Well, it was just yesterday.
Yeah. Well, we did a Super Bowl breakdown. I know people are probably sick of gushing about Mahomes, but we did a good amount of that on the show. And we dove into some of the angles from the Super Bowl, including who paid for those weird Jesus ads and where does that money come from? Spoiler alert. Part of the same group that helped fund the Hobby Lobby case and the recent case that helped overturn Roe v. Wade. As well as the continued whitewashing of Pat Tillman by the NFL and the military. Makes sense because Fox was the in charge of the broadcast for that game. So youtube.com/ESPN show.
Matlack Media update.
Yep, on Left Reckoning tonight, Robert Bezanko on Vietnam, talking to David, and we'll also be talking about this train derailment, as well as Critical Action. I just tweeted from the Majority Report, or retweeted the Left Reckoning post, Critical Action in Austin on police oversight. David's got a story with two DSA members about some police shenanigans going on in Austin that people can need to show up at city council to demand Austin voters decide the future of policing in Austin. So check that out tonight, patreon.com/leftreckoning.
All right, quick break. Fun half, 646-257-3920. See you there.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
No! Oh, no! Are you ready?
Oh, yeah! Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Back. And the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you could imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy, back. And the alpha males are back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it to my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Snowflake says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back.
Oh no, Sam Cedar, what a fucking nightmare.
You bring back DJ Dinner.
Yeah, or a couple of them, just put them in rotation.
DJ Dinner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough for the break.
That's fucking nonsense.
See, white people doing drugs that look worse than normal white people, and all white people look disgusting.
And the alpha males,
psych, fuck them.
Snowflake says what?
What?
Snowflake says what?
A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bank. Okay. I'm making stupid money. A hell of a lot of bank. A hell of a lot of bank.
All lives matter.
Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black African. And the alpha males are black. And the Africans are back.
When you see Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keeping it 100.
Can't knock the hustle.
Come on! Fuck them.
Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday! Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back. Africans are black. Alpha males are black. Africans are back.
Come on! Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy.